Hello and welcome everyone to the Deeper Podcast. For those of you who weren't able to join us last week, we're so glad to have you here. For those of you joining us again this week, glad to have you here as well. It's just good time all around. This is a new podcast project that we're starting here at Friendship Church. And in essence, we plan on using this time to go deeper into the lesson from our last Sunday's sermon. Sometimes questions will arise after listening to the strong sermons. Sometimes there's more that the pastors weren't able to fit in the time they had. So this is just another opportunity to expand our learning. We love that opportunity. I'm Austin Slater, and joining me today is Pastor Dan Kinnis. Dan, welcome back to Deeper.
Yeah, thank you, Austin. Good to be here together again, and looking forward to diving in more.
Absolutely. So on Sunday, you gave us a sermon called Faith and Flight from Mark 14. Could you just do us a bit of a favor and give us a bit of a recap and a summary of what you talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, we were in Mark 14, verses 1 through 11. It's a story of Jesus at Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, and he's at the house of a friend there, Simon the leper, and he's anointed there by a woman who is not named in Mark's gospel. Very dramatic action, and really we were just seeing there what she does and how that's responded to, and just noting, of course, the devotion she is showing toward Jesus, but really saying under that, this is all about the devotion that Jesus has come to show, and he's going to the cross, and her action recognizes that, recognizes Jesus' love for her, and seeks to reflect that in her own. And we just highlighted that. And then also talked about, and I think probably this is where some of our deeper dive will go here, how the disciples there, or the crowd there with her and Jesus responds differently, and where the pushback comes, and where's the balance there. So, yeah, we talked about those different responses, and Judas Iscariot at the end of the text going then off to betray Jesus, and yeah, a lot more there, but that was kind of the gist of it. So I'd really say it's a story of devotion, Jesus' devotion to us first and foremost in his journey to the cross. And then we see that reflected in this woman's devotion now. She's known that from Jesus, and now she's showing it back to him in her life as well.
Right. And that's, yeah, that's excellent that you point us in this direction, because this is something that I wrestled with a lot listening to the sermon on both sides of the spectrum. So we were talking about, you know, this woman gave this immense gift. I think you said it was about the equivalent to a year's worth of wages. Like, this was mm-hmm. a very significant gift that she gave in this anointing. And, you know, we need to recognize, like, that's an important gift, and we need to be willing to, you know, give those gifts and recognize those gifts. Mm. Of devotion in some way. It's not necessarily the same by like $10,000, like, you know, cologne or something, but like with our time and with our energy and whatnot. But at the same time, trying to be wise stewards of that. And so I don't know if you remember this last Christmas, there was a news story that came up. Hmm. And it was about this church in Texas that was putting on a Christmas pageant. And they really pulled out all the stops. I mean, there were people flying from like lines on the ceiling, like this huge light show. They brought in live camels actually to the show, which is totally wild. I think the total expense was in the millions of dollars to put on this thing. And there was some strong feedback. I myself felt pretty strongly about it, in that, you know, they were spending millions of dollars putting on a show when there's, you know, their town and every other town, there's still tons of homeless folks, tons of people dealing mm-hmm. with hunger issues. And we're trying to figure out, was this a responsible use of the money?
Right.
You can even look at the Super Bowl ads, the He Gets mm-hmm. Us campaign.
Right.
And trying to figure out, is this a responsible use of the money, or is this, you know, one of those gifts of devotion? And are we, those of us who are concerned about that, are we falling into the, in this case, the negative perspective of as the disciples being reprimanded by Jesus? And what's the responsible use? So I guess to sum all of that up, how do we draw the line with opulent gifts of devotion? Should that even really be a discussion we even have, or should we just, to put it kind of crudely, live and let live?
It's a great question. I think it's very good for us to think about. And in some ways, I would say the right answer is what we're doing now, and that's talking about it. Because in a lot of times, you know, I personally might feel a move of the Spirit towards something. I need to do this for the Lord. And that very might be valid. But we need to discern often that in community, especially when it's going to a great level. And maybe the disciples, that's what threw them off. We tried to highlight that. It's not shocking that they were a bit put off. This was an extravagant thing. And we kind of used the example of someone like buying a new truck and then, you know, to show their boyfriend or girlfriend, this is how much I care about you. I'm going to drive this thing and send it over the cliff, right? And just, you know, dump $50,000, so to speak. Right. And we'd be like, whoa, what is that? Seems unnecessary. And so I think sometimes just the conversation can be helpful. Like, oh, you know, this surprises me. Maybe the tone of the disciples was part of the problem. They were rebuking. They're indignant. The text says they were not coming in like, oh, let's talk about this. And interesting, why did you feel the need to do that? It was very much like, you are wrong. We're going to rebuke you. We are the power. We have numbers here. And it's kind of a coming down.
Gotcha. So an exercising of power over in the direction of worship.
It feels that in the scene, right, where there's one woman, she's the only woman we kind of picture in the text, and you have these 12 or more, maybe others who are there, and not only are you outnumbered, but, you know, especially in that culture, the women, it's kind of like what we see with the children, with the disciples earlier, where they get them out of here. But I think you're right. There's a very good conversation around this, because Jesus says, you know, yes, you're supposed to care for the poor, and you're supposed to be good stewards and not be caught up in your wealth and your money. And I think we need to be having those conversations. Your example about the church in Texas with this massive kind of Christmas pageant, or, I mean, we can even talk about our Sunday worship services on a regular basis.
Yeah.
How much money annually don't most churches put into that one-hour event every week? And we're no exclusion here.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is something very unique going on in this scene. Jesus is, you know, a day or so away from his death on the cross. And this moment captures that. He says, you're preparing me for my burial. And there's a very special moment of devotion. And certainly, you know, the church in Texas, or, you know, if I'm doing, I can make the case almost always that this is an act of devotion to Jesus. I think sometimes the conversation probably could come in of, is this, you know, something that's more especially about Jesus? Is it more about me,
right?
What I want to do, or I want to be noticed? Or the ad campaign's a great one. I think in so many ways it's a good, and I think the target's good. They're trying to reach people who probably have left from the church, right, and moved aside. And yet sometimes you see the most effective things are the unpaid for conversations or things happening on a ground level. So yeah, and it takes wisdom. We were just talking about it a little before we came on here, and there's so much wisdom. And, you know, you read Proverbs 26, and in consecutive verses you get, don't answer a fool according to his folly. In the next verse, answer a fool according to his folly.
Right.
In different pieces, it's reading some of the situation, and not just personally, but sometimes culturally too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is, you know, I don't know if this is getting at your own nagging about this. We know we have a call to be good stewards of what God has given to us. We also know that our call is to be devoted followers of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And again, I think this was a unique opportunity, Jesus physically with these disciples.
You don't get that in, you know, at a random church in Texas.
Right, and wasn't going to be much longer.
Right.
And I think he's recognizing that moment, and she recognized that moment with whatever insight the Spirit gave her. And there might be moments too that we need to recognize this is a unique moment. We need to go a little further here for Jesus, for his church in this way. And we certainly should be paying attention. And there's other times we probably maybe need to rein it in,
mm-hmm,
and say, whoa, we're serving maybe more of our own needs. We could use resources in a better way, actually,
right,
to show devotion to Jesus.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of wisdom there. There's not, I wish there was one pat answer, right? You know, but it takes.
So you're saying there's nuance required and discernment.
I know. No one likes that. Give us the black and white, but it's part of it. I think too, there's a seeking with the Spirit. It's a good place for us to be,
yeah,
honestly,
yeah,
and to do that together. So.
Yeah. And to ask questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. That is a very helpful perspective and some insight in that. I was wondering then, do you have any other insights or things you wanted to necessarily, or that you wanted to talk about on Sunday, but you didn't necessarily go into? What, like, what more is stewing in that brain, you know?
Oh, there's more than you would want to know about that, you know, and maybe more than I'd want you to know. But no, you know, I think one of the pieces, and we are talking about it already, is this devotion toward Jesus. His devotion toward us is unquestioned, right, as far as if of course, what the testimony is true, that Jesus is the Son of God, came down from heaven, went to the cross for us. I mean, incredible to even think about. And our response then, we're being called to devote ourselves to him, to follow him, to deny ourselves, pick up our cross. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And I wrote that down even today. What does devotion to Jesus look like? And I think the word sacrifice keeps coming to mind for me, that in some way, shape, or form, being devoted to Jesus means that there's going to be some sacrifice of other things in my life to do, to really be devoted to him. And we brought that out a touch in the sermon, that this woman clearly sacrifices for Jesus. She probably wasn't just given this nard, this perfume in the jar. She probably got that at her own expense, and then she, you know, gives that all to Jesus. And we noted how Judas sacrifices Jesus on the other side for money, essentially, and for whatever else reason there might have been. And I think, you know, and this is being transparent even for myself, sometimes my following of Jesus can be so comfortable. Mm. And that should make me think a little bit. And again, not that we're seeking persecution, but it should disrupt some of my my normality, maybe, or my priorities in my life. The rhythm of my days should be disrupted by my following of Jesus, if that makes sense. Totally. And if I'm going to be devoted to him, it's gonna challenge me in the priorities I'm setting, even in good things like my family relationships and my work, even pastoral work, right? This devotion and this time with Jesus and relating to him and letting him speak into my life and work transformation, I've continued to think about it too. What does that devotion look like in my life? And for those listening and thinking about this text further, I hope, you know, you would think about that too. You know, what does it look like to be devoted to Jesus in my life? And maybe what comfort needs to be disrupted a bit for that to truly take place. Do you have any further thoughts on that?
I just think that's really, you know, profound and convicting, because like for some of us, it might not necessarily be the money. Like we might not have, you know, the money to have camels come on stage here at Friendship, right. Or we might not have, you know, this bottle of nard that's, you know, imported from India or whatnot that we can give. But we've got, you know, the sacrifice of our time more than just, you know, on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, and then maybe on a Wednesday, but like going out of our way to like disrupt my daily schedule, to have a conversation with someone that I don't really want to have a conversation with.
Yeah.
There's just so much. I know I tend to think of, and for a long time I've tended to think of, like when I'm sacrificing something, usually it's a sacrifice of money. Mm. It's a tithe of some sort, or it's time, but it can really be, you know, like you were saying, like a sacrifice of comfort. Mm. And sacrificing, chasing whatever dream we're chasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or my schedule, right?
Yeah.
I'm one too. You got to lay out the day, kind of have a picture of what this is going to look like, and all of a sudden, spirit comes in, and there's this person, and there's this situation, and it's not planned. And there's good things to reflect on. And again, like you said in your question too, this balance of, and it maybe all points back to stewardship, of these gifts that God's given. I have a lot of talents. How am I using them?
Right.
Is it just about me? Is it showing my devotion to Jesus as part of that, and maybe all of it, right? Yeah. As we sang this past week, just so happened, I Surrender All. And it's like, whoa, that's obviously a challenging song, but especially in light of this text is a challenge. And I think sometimes, to go back even to your question, it can very much look like I need to use these resources to help those in need. In Matthew's gospel, the text about the sheep and the goats comes almost right before this incident happens, right? So you can't just take one apart from the other. But yeah, that's something I want to keep reflecting on personally more deeply. What does it look like in my life? If I say I'm devoted to Jesus, How is that showing up? And how is it maybe making me uncomfortable at times to do that?
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dan. Thanks. That's a lot to think on.
Yeah.
a lot to wrestle with for me personally, and also I hope for those listening. Thanks for your time and your effort in helping us unpack this. Thank you, dear listeners, as always, for joining us and learning with us. If you have any questions you would like to have answered, please shoot them to me in an email at aslater@friendshipcrc.org. By whatever Monday evening following the sermon you've listened to is, and we'll try and get to it before the next recording session. But blessings on you, Dan, and on you, dear listeners. Go in peace this week, and we will talk more next week.